Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Into the 7 o'clock hour we go, live at Camp Casario, Texans training camp. Sean Pendergast alongside Seth Payne, and we welcome in right now, an hour earlier than normal on Wednesday, because at the top of the hour we're going to pass the baton over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris and Texans Radio. John McClain, the Hall of Famer, joining us live out here at Camp Casario.
John McClain was out doing burpees over on the 10-yard line.
Well, he does that every year. It's a tradition like no other.
He said, I'll interrupt my workout to come talk to you guys.
Come chat about football. HornSolutions.net presents John McClain. Hello, John. Happy training camp.
Thank you, guys. I'll be back on at 8:15 after I'm done with you guys.
That's right. You do. Yeah.
With Mark Vandermeer, who just showed up.
Speak of the devil. Yeah. So, John, you've been doing this for over four decades. You've been at many, many, many training camps. Can you remember a stranger training camp than the one you're about to cover?
Absolutely. This doesn't compare when you're losing your franchise after decades and not knowing when they're going to be gone and going to training camp and wondering what was happening. It's one thing if you got a player's going to be traded, but when you're losing your franchise and there's so much uncertainty and it affects so many people, this doesn't compare.
Okay, so you're obviously referring to the Oilers back in the mid-90s, so let me tweak my question. Can you remember a stranger Texans training
camp? Of course
camp?
Not. No, never. They've never had anything like this. It's one thing, too, you know, let's see, subtract Dante Moncrief, so there's now 50, you added Anthony Miller, 51 veterans. Now it's 50 veterans back to 40, 50 new players back to 42 veterans. That's strange enough. Not to mention all the new coaches. We see new coaches all the time, but I've never seen a team bring in that many veterans. So watch now that plays out at every position is going to be really interesting at camp. But, of course, today nobody cares about anybody other than Deshaun Watson. Will he be out here? Will he practice? You know, if he takes snaps, he's taking up snaps that the other quarterbacks need, and they know he's not going to be on the team. They know he's going to be gone. It's just a matter of when somebody makes him a good offer. I've seen so many people in the media say the Texans are now open for business. They've been open for business for Watson for months if somebody had made him an offer. But nobody's making an offer under the circumstances.
What is there any development that could happen, like a realistic development that could happen that would make one of those teams out there feel like, okay, you know what, even if he's going to get suspended for a little bit, we feel comfortable coughing up three draft picks for Deshaun Watson?
Well, the three number ones, that was before the draft. That's not now. That's out there. That's a day late and a dollar short. I saw another national media person talking about all this inside information he just learned, of which Rusty Harden said it 6 weeks ago. But the bottom line is this. Would anybody really make a trade when you've got such serious allegations for an unprecedented 22 civil suits, 10 complaints with the police, and the NFL could suspend him for a season? And so I don't see anything. I mean, it could end today, could end, you know, after the season. I just don't have a clue.
I guess the only equivalent scenario maybe I could think of was the Bucks drafting Jameis Winston when the legal issues had the legal issues been resolved yet with Jameis Winston when he was drafted, or was it
he only had one, right?
That was Lovie Smith.
This is 22.
I know.
This is unprecedented. But there was some pretty
graphic. There were some pretty graphic details of an alleged violent rape in that situation. So I didn't. It wasn't. I think there are Sean or John. I guess this is what I always leave room for. There's always a team out there that just doesn't give a damn. They'll say the right things publicly, but at their core, they really don't give a damn, and they'll just think logistically, okay, well, how many games might we lose them for? And you know what? The fans will get over it once we start winning.
That's a fact. Fans will get over it once they start winning, but boy, if that team stepped up, made them a good offer, Watson would be gone.
John McClain, hornsolutions.net, presents him each and every week. Here on Sports Radio 610, Payne and Pendergast with you live at Camp Casario. And we'll know in the next 2 hours. 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes from now, we'll know. And actually, John, maybe even before that.
You'll know way before that when the players start coming out here.
Well,
45 minutes earlier.
Okay. Well, and Nick Casario meets with the media at 8:45 a.m. today. How do you expect Nick Casario, David Culley, how do you expect them to address the Deshaun Watson situation?
I think they'll have a plan, and it'll start with what Casario talks about, and then I'm guessing after practice, David Culley will not talk about it. He'll say Nick said everything that needs to be said, and he'll talk about the other players. Maybe he'll talk about Watson. I don't know. One of the things I'm really interested in, has been lost in all this, are vaccinations. Where do they stand? You know, how many players have not been vaccinated? Everybody I interview, I'm going to ask him if you've been vaccinated. And if he says that's private, tells me he hasn't. Because if you're vaccinated, you'd want everybody to know, because yeah, it's such an issue in every locker room. And so we'll ask Casario that, too. Where did your team stand? Did you meet the 85 threshold? Ron Rivera of the Washington football team expressed yesterday his frustration with his team's just at 50%. He's done everything he could do, and he has to wear his mask everywhere because he's a cancer survivor, and there's players in there that could give him COVID-19, which could hurt him. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that gets me about the players is, why would you really want to go through all those protocols you went through last year, which they all said was such a pain in the butt, when you don't have to do any of them if you just get two little measly shots that took me for two, I counted 9 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a hot-button topic, not only around the NFL, but just society in general. John, the Randall Cobb trade, boy, this was a really fortuitous bounce of the ball for the Texans. And we'll get into Aaron Rodgers in a little bit more detail, but the fact that some of the fallout of Aaron Rodgers coming back to Green Bay might involve the Texans being able to get out from underneath most of Randall Cobb's contract. Where do things stand with that? Do you expect that deal to get done today?
I do expect it to get done today. It might have gotten done late last night. They were haggling over what draft choice. Obviously, it's going to be low. They gave up a 5 in 2022, the Bears, in the deal with Anthony Miller. And
they got a 7 back.
Yeah, got a 7, so maybe they'll try to get back that 5 from the Packers, but, yeah, Cobb's going back to Green Bay.
Anthony Miller had a very promising rookie year with the Chicago Bears and then was very inconsistent after that. Most of the fan reaction I saw as soon as that trade went down was, well, you know, it's a shame because he never reached his potential. He's inconsistent. What have you heard from people outside of Chicago or out of Chicago about Anthony Miller and what his perhaps maybe untapped potential is?
He was a second-round pick in 2018. He had 49 catches last year, which I believe were more than any other wide receiver acquired by Casario. And him and Chris Conley, I think, were the ones with at least 40 catches. And Miller can play inside. He can play outside. He's in the last year of his contract. That should be motivation. But they soured on him in the playoffs when he got in a fight with a cornerback, punched him, and got ejected. And one of the things about the catches, you know, Trubisky was throwing the passes. It's too bad Miller doesn't get to play with Watson. And but if you're in a Texans situation and you're rebuilding, getting a guy that should be hungry to try to get a good payday, if not here from somewhere else, is not bad, especially what you gave up. And maybe they'll get that pick back for Cobb, but I fully expect Anthony Miller to be on the field. You know, it could be they start off the season with Cooks and Miller and Chris Conley, because I don't expect rookie Nico Collins to make an impact right away, because he's a rookie receiver, and he opted out last year and should get off to a slow start. But those wouldn't be three bad receivers that they went with. And, of course, they're going to run the ball so much more. Like, I'd be shocked if Brandon Cooks had stats like last year, considering the renewed emphasis on running. But That'd be a pretty good threesome if they could stay healthy. I think Kiki QT, the way we saw him play at the end of last season, the best of his career, that bodes well for him. And then they need somebody to emerge. Hopefully, for their sake, it'll be Collins.
So Anthony Miller, John referenced him getting ejected in the playoff games. That was by that MJ Gardner-Johnson, the guy from the Saints, who's really good at baiting people. Yeah. George McCaskey, the chairman of the, you know, the owning family there for the Bears, he actually got on radio, and this is what he explained about Anthony Miller's ejection. Quote, "I have a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection because they sat him down and they told him, listen, watch out for this player. He's a punk. He's going to try to get under your skin. And with Darnell Mooney out, we really need you to be in this game and help this team." And Anthony had the benefit of having seen Javon's experience, because Javon, they had another player get ejected earlier in the season. And I think that was the biggest thing with Anthony Miller, was that was like the cherry on top of, I guess, just some immaturity or inexperience and everything that he'd shown, is that in that specific situation, it's like playoff hockey. You know, you don't fight in the playoffs because you can't afford an ejection.
That's right.
He went and fought.
Yeah. Lack of maturity and a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Payne and Pendergast.
But I like that he's got pluck.
Yeah, he's got moxie.
He's going to take no crap from nobody.
No. Seth, your Jameis Winston example you brought up earlier. Actually, I'm looking at Wikipedia as a good
example.
She
filed suit in January of the year of the draft against the university, and then 2 weeks before the draft, she sued Jameis Winston personally.
Yeah, and he countersued for defamation. So he had a lot of stuff going on out there. Now, granted, just one accuser, some pretty graphic stuff,
yeah,
but one accuser. And it didn't get settled until December of 2016. So Jameis is two seasons into the NFL before that whole thing got worked out.
And I guess the thing about that was, as John pointed out, it was one accuser, but it was known about for several months beforehand. And the Bucs said they did their own investigation. I remember Lovie Smith got some heat for, I guess, not sounding like he was actually all that. We'll bring it up just because, yeah, and just to be fair to it, since my memory's kind of spotty about it. But it was a tense situation. Yeah. But it was one accuser, and if they were investigating, they could do it with one person. This is 22 separate cases,
yeah,
plus all the criminal charges or criminal complaints that the league and the Texans would have to investigate.
John, real quick, just to put a bow on this part of the conversation about Deshaun Watson, are you surprised he's not on the commissioner's exempt list today?
The exempt list is so you get your regular season salary, and he doesn't get paid till the season starts, so I still won't be surprised if he's put on the exempt list then so he can get his $10.54 million base salary, but I'm not right now. They're still trying to investigate, and they put out a statement yesterday that it's ongoing, and because it's 22 mm-hmm. civil suits, and there's other people they want to talk to as well. Yeah, this is going to take a long time.
Indeed. All right, John McClain is presented by HornSolutions.net. He is live with us here at Camp Casario, Texans training camp. Our first day of what's going to be several days out here covering Texans practice. It's great to have football back, and it's great to be back out here covering these practices out here early as the sun is rising. So football is here. We appreciate you tuning in with us here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, I want to talk about the Aaron Rodgers situation with John McClain. How does this play out in 2021? And more so, the concessions that Green Bay made to Aaron Rodgers. Did Aaron Rodgers win this thing? We'll talk about it with John McClain next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast live at Camp Casario, Texans training camp at the Methodist Training Center. First practice today at 9:15. Nick Casario meets with the media today at 8:45. He'll be on with us tomorrow about this time, 24 hours and 11 minutes from now. Nick Casario will be live sitting in the chair that John McClain, the Hall of Famer, is sitting in right now. He's presented by HornSolutions.net. John, the Aaron Rodgers situation, I thought all along he would be under center for the Packers this year, but the resolution came quick the other day. Did Aaron Rodgers win in this situation?
No, I love.
Wait a second. We John, don't have his mic on.
John's mic. Thank you. There we go.
Not your fault. There we go.
There we go.
I love the fact that people all over the country, media people, former players, saying he took a couple of swings and he missed. He got the last year lopped off. No free agency. He'll be 40. And I'm guessing it'll be Jordan Love would have signed an extension. But, you know, the fact is, he's coming off the greatest season of his career. 48 touchdown passes, a career high. And everybody was whining about no receivers. And he's been tremendous. And if he does it a couple of more years, he said he wants to play into his mid-40s like Brady. Brady may play at least 50. So he could look for a Brady-type deal. Maybe he'll replace Brady in Tampa. And but it'd be good for him, I guess, to leave at 40 like Brady did. But he's got to be there the next 2 years if they want him.
How does what is the time horizon on Tom Brady? Like, Tampa basically went all in, doubled down on keeping everybody. But you got to pay the piper at some point there, right? When you hand out a bunch of exorbitant contracts,
you do. And I think that won't be Brady's problem. It won't be Bruce Arians' problem. It'll be the problem if Jason Light is still the general manager. It'll be his problem. But now that other quarterbacks see that being done, and that's what Rodgers wants. He wants to be able to dictate personnel like Tom Brady did. And the difference in the Buccaneers and the Packers are not going to cave to any one player. They wouldn't do it with Brett Favre, and they're not doing it with Rodgers. But I love yesterday Mike Florio said, he summed it all up, and he said, Adam Schefter is the first to break the news, but he's been saying he wouldn't be back, put in parentheses, but he's been reporting he wouldn't be back. And so I never thought for a second that Rodgers would be anywhere else, because if they were going to trade him, they would have done it around the draft. And you know it always came to money, because his agent went to Green Bay, tried to negotiate an extension that would guarantee that he would be there, and when they wouldn't do it, he went home, and it was leaked to Adam Schefter then the day before the draft to create the biggest story of the offseason.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers, I guess correct me if I'm wrong, he is now represented by David Mulligetta.
Aaron Rodgers?
He's represented by David Dunn.
David Dunn, all right. First. I thought David Dunn got pulled in by David Mulligetta as far as, okay, somebody, that was explained to me wrong yesterday. As far as agents, or as far as players being able to dictate terms, I think a lot of people, and honestly myself included, started feeling like, okay, this is going to be more like the NBA where
yes,
the quarterbacks do have more sway than we realized or that they did before. I think that took a hit, obviously. I'll claim a partial defeat there, because I think it still, John, comes down to, as it always has been, if a person's willing to sit out an entire season. But that's the biggest thing. I don't think Russell Wilson had the guts to sit out an entire season. I don't think Aaron Rodgers had the guts to sit out an entire season. If a quarterback has the guts to sit out an entire season, they still have pretty much, they still have the power to get themselves off of a team.
If indeed the team wants to cave, or they just leave them there and let them sit out another season. The NFL, the owners and the league are adamant. They do not want the NFL dictating like the NBA, as you brought up, Seth. Last year, David Mulligetta got Jalen Ramsey out of Jacksonville, got him to the Rams, went to the playoffs, played great, got a monster contract. Mulligetta, of course, is Deshaun Watson's agent. And so that's the way they like it. Unfortunately, one player, even a quarterback, can't affect a team like, say, the NBA. I don't know about you guys. I'm so glad Brooklyn didn't win the title. I'm so glad it was Milwaukee because Giannis chose to stay in a mid-market, and I would have loved to have seen Chris Paul in Phoenix. But just the fact that the super team didn't win for a change, to me, it made it so much more interesting and fun.
Yeah. Well, and this will be an interesting litmus test here coming up, John. John McClain with us, presented by HornSolutions.net. I mean, we talked about Aaron Rodgers, who got, I think, basically what he wanted. We know Deshaun Watson is asking for a trade. You mentioned the concern owners have about the NFL turning into the NBA. I think the Xavien Howard situation in Miami is a really interesting one because he's not a quarterback, but he is one of the elite players at his position. He's a player who's already gotten paid, but he wants to be paid more, I guess. You know, there's whatever the issues may be. He put out a long statement on social media yesterday. What are your thoughts on the Xavien Howard situation, a Houstonian and a Baylor Bear?
He signed a 5-year extension last year. They should not cave to him. He signed it. He signed it in good faith. One of the things he did in that statement I heard, I haven't read it, was he brought in another player's contract. You never talk about another player's financial business, and I think he did. Maybe it was Byron Jones. They've got two really good
– A teammate.
Two really good cornerbacks on that team. They were 10-6. They're trying to beat Buffalo for the AFC East, and now Howard said he showed up just to avoid the $50,000 a day fine. I don't know how you can sign a 5-year deal and then be miserable 1 year into it. You're being distracted by other people's money, and that's not a good look. But I'd be shocked if they trade him, because whoever trades for him's got to tear up the last 4 years of his contract and make him the highest paid defensive back in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I just don't see it happening.
Jordan Love is David Mulligetta's client.
Okay.
Because I did my little the transposition there.
Yeah. So a different path.
Watson worked out with him and Justin Fields, another Mulligetta client, part of in the offseason, along with, of course, his longtime quarterback guru in Atlanta, Quincy Avery.
Here's what Howard said, Xavien Howard, just to bring clarity to what John was referring to in his post. He said, "I'm one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and the tape backs up that claim. Yet I'm the second highest paid cornerback on my own team, and it's not even close."
Okay, you know what? Because, John, when you said that, you never bring that up. I mean, my thought was it does get brought up privately, and sometimes guys will kind of openly stew about it in the locker room, but you definitely, which is, it's bad form. You know, like, generally those aren't the best dudes that do that, but it does happen. But, yeah, bringing it up publicly and calling a guy out on your, man, that gives me, the dumbest thing about that right there is that, That's one thing where teams will look at that and say, well, geez, I don't know about bringing this guy in. There are a lot of things that teams will forgive when they're talking about bringing guys in. Like, Jalen Ramsey was acting the fool in Jacksonville, and a lot of people thought, well, I don't know, man, a lot of teams might not want him. Didn't matter. It didn't matter. The Rams still wanted Jalen Ramsey. Something like that, like actually actively calling out one of your, not just a teammate, but somebody in your own position room, that's messed up. That's really messed up.
Yeah.
Maybe he and his agent have a plan. Talk your way out.
Yeah, and it's according to this article, he has a new agent, his and David Cantor, who I know he's an agent for.
He's
some
been around forever.
Prominent players, yeah, he's been around a while. John McClain with us out here live at Camp Casario, Texans training camp, here on Sports Radio 610. Well, let's save it for the next segment, John, to get into what are some of the areas you're going to be watching with this team when the team comes out onto the field today. I guess just before we get to the bottom of the we break right here. God, the 2-hour shows are going to mess with me. I thought we were going to 29. No, we only go to 27. So I can get out here. We'll do headlines in the next segment. We will also find out where John McClain in the Disney World that is an NFL practice with all the different attractions. Which attraction is he going to go to first when he gets here? Not named Deshaun Watson. That's what everybody's out here to see. But beyond that, what are the most intriguing parts of today and the next several days out here live at Texans training camp? Camp Casario rolls on. We'll do some headlines in the next segment. We'll pass the baton over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris at the top of the hour. That's next. John McClain, presented by HornSolutions.net. Stay there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast live at Camp Casario, Texans training camp, live at the Methodist Training Center, and it's starting to feel like it now. The sun's coming up. You can see the dew on the grass still here, and the trailers now just pulled up here with all the duffel bags and the helmets on the back of them.
And the sun is up. It's not shining on you.
Yeah.
It's shining on Seth and I.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They bring all the helmets over right now. Are they bringing guys like shoulder pads and helmets over here so they don't have to?
Rookies don't have to carry them?
Yeah. Tell you what, this. Sean, there's a difference between hazing and responsibilities.
Right.
It's fine to give rookies responsibilities as long as you don't shave their eyebrows, you know, after the responsibilities. Give them some responsibilities.
One of the funniest hazing things I ever saw was Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak, Hall of Fame guards for the Oilers. They would make the rookies, they would shave, not just shave their heads, they would shave like arrows in their head. They would do all kinds of things to those poor guys. One guy from California had great hair. It was long. It was flowing. He quit before he let them mess with his hair.
Oh, really?
Quit and went back to California.
Do you remember his name?
I don't know if he signed with another team, but we're like, my God. Jeff Fisher took over. He wouldn't let him do that anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, like people think that's a new development or something. A lot of guys, like Bill Walsh, was anti-rookie hazing. Like he... way back in the day, and there were strict rules against hazing.
Seemed to work out okay for Bill Walsh.
Yeah, the best haircut ever was the Friar Tuck one they gave to Tim Tebow.
That was
awesome. Yeah. And Tebow, to his credit, just did it. Like, he was a good team player and everything. The two things that happened, because in Jacksonville had a lot of old school veterans when I was still there, guys that had played in the 80s and, you know, drove Harleys back before everybody drove Harleys and had tattoos before everybody had tattoos. They had some old school veterans. Marcus Stroud, they were going around, they were shaving everybody's heads. Marcus Stroud just desperately didn't want to have his hair cut. He was the first round pick. He had really nice, you know, hair he'd been working on forever. So they cut a bargain with him that they'd shave his eyebrows. And that was one of the scariest looking human beings
without
I've ever
eyebrows.
Seen. Marcus Stroud's a physical freak, you know, and without eyebrows, yeah. I had a friend that got in a fight with him during training camp. and Marcus had Marcus took his own helmet off. So Marcus gets in a fight, and usually in a football fight, the big thing is get the guy's helmet off and then start pummeling him.
Right.
Marcus stood back, took his own helmet off, and my friend Mark said, I'm staring at this dude with no eyebrows, and I was just thinking, I don't really want to be here right now.
Tell me if you ever had to do this when I had a longtime player coach tell me when he was a rookie with the Broncos, they would... make them strip, get on the goal line on their hands and knees, take a Frankfurter, put it where the sun don't shine. They'd have to crawl for the other goal line on their hands and knees, and it better not come out.
Well, would they squeeze between the cheeks, or are you saying that it was inserted something? No! What the hell's wrong with people back then?
I wonder why we have problems.
You see when people try to act like, oh, things were so much better back in the day. Yeah.
Not for rookies at training camp. What the hell?
Oh. Okay, now this is a one rookie hazing story. This was light hazing. This wasn't even hazing. This is like rookie responsibilities. This is when I first thought we might have a problem in our hands with the Texans. During training camp, Dom Capers gave us a break back in 2002. We went off to watch a movie. It was a surprise. You know, we showed up for meetings. They said, hey, we're going to watch a movie. So we got loaded on buses, went up to Edwards Greenway Plaza, 24. And we said, all right, well, we got some time to kill. Let's have some rookies sing their fight songs or sing their college fight songs. And David Carr got up there and refused to sing his college fight song.
Oh,
what did they do to him?
I kind of booed him and everything, but it was kind of awkward and weird because you're like, this guy's their starting quarterback, and you don't want to – like, this is okay, come on, play along a little bit. But Carr just basically kind of dismissed it, and it ruined my viewing of that Vin Diesel movie.
My first camp in 77, rookie tight end Jimmy Giles was told to sing. He wouldn't do it. Steve Kiner, a linebacker, went flying across the table to get a fight.
Yeah.
Dishes, everything flew, and people pulled Kiner away because they were afraid Giles beat the hell out of him. And then Giles became part of Texans lore the next year, traded to Tampa for the number one pick they used on Earl Campbell.
As far as the, like, why didn't anybody do anything about David Carr? Partly because that was when everything was changing in terms of hazing. The Saints had just gotten busted for making rookies go through a gauntlet with socks full of quarters and stuff.
Yeah,
that's old school NFL. The Saints used to have a really bad reputation for having by far the worst rookie hazing. But then also because, you know, the guys on offense especially, I know, were under strict instructions not to treat David Carr with anything but the kindest and gentlest treatment, and to be sure that
that could explain some things about why things turned out the way they did for
yeah,
David Carr.
That's why I honestly, when Deshaun Watson didn't start immediately, that was one of the reasons where I've always said at least make guys think that they've earned their position.
Yeah.
Even if he's going to start no matter what, I like guys to feel like they had to actually work for it and don't start off immediately. Now, some guys can handle it. Andre Johnson, you could have told Andre Johnson he was starting 3 weeks before the draft. He was still going to be the same guy.
Yeah.
But some other guys need to just, you know, put a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
John McClain out here live with us at Texans training camp, Camp Casario, getting started at 9:15 a.m. today. Nick Casario will meet with the media at 8:45 a.m. today. John, Are you batting leadoff at the Nick Casario press conference today?
No idea.
Okay. If you were, what's your first question going to be to him?
I'm going to ask him about Watson, what's going on, get an update. Second thing I'll ask him is about vaccinations. After everybody else asks the Watson questions, he'll be asked same question by 10 people about Watson. Mm-hmm. Whatever he's going to say, he'll continue to say the same thing. And hopefully he'll bring some clarity, at least for today. Like, if he's on the field taking snaps, that's taking him away from Davis Mills. Mills needs the snaps. Tyrod Taylor needs to get ready for the Jaguars in that opening game. So, you know, they don't put on pads today. Nobody touches each other. That's why it's only interesting to watch the receivers and quarterbacks and anybody catching the ball and anybody covering.
John, I guess another question that maybe Casario might be asked is that we know that the NFL is allowing Deshaun Watson to practice right now, that there aren't any restrictions on his play. Do you know how active the dialogue is between perhaps the NFL and the Texans regarding this issue?
I'm guessing there's not any activity at all because the NFL's not going to tell them. We're investigating,
okay,
just like they did. And I'm sure Cal McNair could call up there and Roger Goodell would say, hey, you know, you guys do what you got to do. We're still investigating. And they got multiple people working on it. And they said yesterday there's no restrictions on Watson. Well, of course there's not. There never would have been. I don't even know why they put that in their statement. And but, you know, if it were me, I would the league and specifically Goodell, they're the ones that determine who goes on the exempt list and how long they stay. So it doesn't matter if Watson, David Mulligetta, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Casario calls the league and says, will you put him on the exempt list? They don't care about what you say. It's what they say. And they got to get, I think, further along in their investigation. And if they're going to do it closer, regular season would be the time to do it. The Texans could send him home with excused absences, not fine him. They could leave him in the facility and have him work out in there like he's on injured reserve. Or they could have him come around, stand on the sideline, and tell him you're going to be inactive for every game. But the bottom line is, if they have him do something out here, in 2017, he just tossed a little short pass, took two steps, boom, there went his ACL. So if that were to happen to him again, there goes your trade, there goes the interest, and you're going to keep going through this for another year. So I wouldn't let him on the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, there goes your trade for now. I mean, I could see teams trading. If this was an ACL, I could see teams trading for Deshaun, even knowing full well he's going to come back from an ACL. John, I think he'd have to lose a limb to lose his trade value, basically.
I agree, because at some point, everything's going to be behind him, and he can play another 12 or 13 years.
Right. John, let's push this thing forward for a second, and if we're still in this same spot with Deshaun Watson when training camp is over and week one is here, if the thought is they're not going to trade him, they're not getting good offers while the legal stuff is still swirling, while the league hasn't ruled on what they're going to do with him, if we're here when actual real football rolls around, then how do you think the Texans handle that situation?
I don't think for a minute they're going to have him at games. There's just no way, because he wants out of here in the worst way, and they want to trade him. They're just hoping somebody at some point.
So is he on the 53, but he's inactive?
Yeah, I can't imagine he would be on the 53 if they know he's not going to play.
Okay, but if he weren't injured and he's not traded yet, I mean he's got to be.
They
on the
could 53. Send him home anytime and just not find him. They can do whatever they want.
I got you, but when the regular season rolls around, the roster's a 53-man roster. You know what I mean? Like, there's no list that you can put. Is there a list you can put him on? I don't like. I say all that because
can't put the did not report since he's reported.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with
it.
If
I'm him, I develop a mysterious back injury.
I think that's in play.
Well, that's what Jalen Ramsey did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I just saw. I believe he had a mask on, so I can tell. But I think it was Steve Weiss from the NFL
too.
Network just rolled.
Yeah,
in.
There's national people that have been scheduled coming here since last week.
Yeah, right. So anyway, with Steve Weiss, my point is that he was one of the hosts of the podcast, which David Culley said that Deshaun Watson was our quarterback for now. So they've got a comfortable relationship. And David Culley might have gotten a little too comfortable with Steve Weiss. So I'd imagine that there will be maybe another sit down there, and maybe we get some more comfortable divulgence.
Good Lord willing. All right, we got a lot of headlines to get to with John McClain here, so let's do that. We'll do headlines here to the top of the hour.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, so let's start with that level set of where we are with Deshaun Watson and where the league is right now with Deshaun Watson. As John McClain alluded to, the league put out a statement yesterday in advance of training camp beginning today. The NFL's review of the serious allegations against Deshaun Watson remains ongoing and active. We are working cooperatively with the Houston Police Department and ensuring that the NFL's inquiry does not interfere with their investigation. As we continue to gather additional information and monitor law enforcement developments, we will make appropriate decisions consistent with the collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. At this time, there are no restrictions on Watson's participation in club activities. So the league basically saying, we're not doing anything to stop him from practicing. If he's not out there, that's between the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I don't know why they would even put that out there. That had nothing. That didn't have jack to do with squat. They either put him on the exempt list or they don't. There's nothing else. Or they suspend him, of course, which is not going to happen anytime soon.
They could be getting in front. I mean, that's going to be a natural question, I suppose, of people. So they're just answering that question.
Really?
That he doesn't have any restrictions. John, there's nothing about this that's normal. I don't know if you've noticed, but like, this is a really weird situation. Everything about the Texans for the last 2 years, and this specific situation with Deshaun Watson, has so little precedent that I think there are natural questions. I see people all over the place having these takes like, well, of course you do this, of course you don't do that. No, I don't buy any of that. Like, there is no, yes, this is the way it works, no, that's the way it doesn't work. None of this, like, all of this is uncharted territory. So I don't mind. Like, the more clarification I get, the better. I'm not going to complain about anything.
Yeah. John, there were other reports yesterday about why things might be moving so slowly. The NFL Has not had access to any of the police evidence that they've gathered in their investigation because the investigation is ongoing. Tony Busby weighed in, and he's kind of he's upset right now that nothing's happened with the league and Deshaun Watson because he's obviously been privy to some of what the NFL has done in his interviews with some of his plaintiffs that he's representing and things like that. This is going to be a really, really interesting few weeks coming up here with Deshaun Watson.
Everybody's unhappy on every side because because of the lawsuits, the civil suits, because the possibility of a suspension. When does it come down? Do they put him on the exempt list? Goodell has wide latitude to do whatever he wants under the personal conduct policy, and I just can't imagine. The league is going to leave them hanging out there because, you know, Goodell's salary is paid by the owners.
Right.
And the longer he lets this fester, the bigger distraction it's going to be. You know, the last thing a team that's rebuilding with a new coach, GM, and so many new players and coaches, last thing they need is a daily distraction when they're supposed to be focused on preparing for the first game against the Jaguars.
I guess the big relevant case with that that I remember the best, at least, was Ezekiel Elliott when he was under investigation.
Yeah.
It took forever, you know, and the Jerry Jones was getting really upset about the fact that they were not giving the information out. Because it was, you remember, Jerry Jones was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame that year. And it wasn't until it was August 11th that it came down that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be suspended. So a couple weeks after that, now that was one woman, right, that they had to investigate. This is
22. Yeah.
Antonio Bryant's last one took 2 years for a settlement, and then the league after that, a few months, let him off the hook, let it go.
Yeah.
John, the other big news with the Texans yesterday is it would appear as though they are on the verge of getting out from underneath the Randall Cobb contract, one of the worst contracts handed out in history by this team for a free agent. 3 years, $27 million, $18 million guaranteed for Randall Cobb. And it looks like Aaron Rodgers would like to have Randall Cobb back with him in Green Bay this coming season. The rumors of that deal being close to done popped up yesterday afternoon. As of last night, when I went to bed, the deal was not done. Do you expect this deal to be completed?
I do, and I think one of the things is he's got to take a pay cut. You know, he's not going to make that base salary, and I'm sure that's something that the Packers are going over with his agent. But yeah, it's going to go through. Don't know what the pick will be. I'm sure the Packers said we'll give you a 7, maybe Caserio got him up to a 6 or conditional, or would be ideal is to get a 5 to replace the one they gave up for Anthony Miller. But we should find that out today. They put players on COVID-19 reserve list last night.
Mm-hmm.
They've waived Dante Moncrief, non-football injury designation, and then they have other guys who are not going to be able to practice because of non-football injury.
Yeah, Cornell Armstrong, Pharaoh Brown, Lonnie Johnson, and DeMarcus Walker were on the active non-football injury list. They can be activated at any time. The three players put on the COVID-19 reserve list, Jerron Christian, Buddy Howell, and Tawan Taylor. Dante Moncrief was cut, as John just alluded to. So, yes, the Texans doing some transactions, some house cleaning.
And just for listeners, the active non-football injury list, that's typically not a big deal necessarily. That's just that's getting it out there. For one, the non-football injury means you were injured or sick with something that didn't happen at the team facility. Maybe you're riding a jet ski or something like that, and they're not going to be held responsible for your salary if it doesn't pan out. But usually it's just a technicality.
Yep. And when they pass a physical, they're back on the field.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
There you go. All right, shifting gears over to the Astros. They win last night 8-6 over the Seattle Mariners. Yeah, okay. No, they scored 8 runs last night, but this time they were able to hold on, but it got interesting at the end, including now former Astro Abraham Toro hitting a 2-run home run for his new team.
Sorry, I got excited.
Ryan Presley had been great, and then last night he wasn't for the first time in a long time, but they held them off. No lead seems to be safe with his bullpen, and hopefully after the trade.
Yeah, thanks
and
a lot, Graven. A lot you did for us last
and
night.
And I'm guessing Click will make another move for his bullpen.
What did you get so excited about?
I'm sorry, everybody. I got super excited because I didn't see this. Was this out here a couple years ago?
What?
There's a huge scoreboard.
Yes, it was.
On field two. Okay, I wasn't.
It was out here
ago
last
when you,
year.
Last year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were one of the only people allowed out here last year. I don't remember. Did you talk about this?
Maybe.
I don't remember. Son of a. This is really cool. Okay, so one of the toughest things as a football player.
Hey, this just in. There's a chance I mention it and you don't remember.
Is sometimes when you're. No, it probably didn't have the same effect on you as it did on me. Sometimes when you're a player, the worst thing is if you don't know what the practice schedule is and you don't know what's coming up and you're like, is there a 9-on-7 still? I'm so tired. And you don't know where. So you got to go over and ask one of the interns, like, hey, let me see the schedule.
Yeah.
They've got a huge scoreboard that shows like what period is coming up next, what's coming up. They've got a timer that shows how much time is left in the period. As a player, I'm a fan of this.
The cool thing about that scoreboard up there, and I promise Astro fans, we're gonna get back to the Astros.
Nah.
But Seth was just so excited. But they use that too when they do situational football now. They can do the down and distance and the amount of time left in the game and stuff like that.
So it feels more like an actual game, like you've got game size displays and everything.
Yeah.
So you didn't do that justice last year.
I guess not.
No.
Apparently not. I need to build drama with everything now, apparently, including the scoreboard.
So, now Graveman, I'm excited about. Graveman was damn near in tears because, much like many other Mariners, people were PO'd that you've got this team that's finally in contention for something after all these years of misery, even though, frankly, they're not that good. They've won a lot of one-run games.
Worst hitting team in the AL.
Yeah, like that's what I would tell Mariners fans. Like, seriously, are you serious? You're not that good.
Worst hitting team. They've scored 17 runs in two games against the Astros.
John, that happens. You know, John, do you know, well, back in like the 2012-2013, we could go through some various series where the Astros won series versus some of the better teams in the league.
Sure,
look, okay, these are some quotes from some Mariners players about the Mariners GM. He hasn't come down here. He sits up in his suite playing fantasy baseball and rips apart our team without telling us anything. This is what another player said via text. No one has heard a thing. I've seen a lot of teammates walk out that door, but this one hurts the most and is the most bleeped up. The team deserves an explanation. This is players talking about the GM. Remember, we thought it was dramatic when Dallas Keuchel kind of called out Jeff Luhnow at the trade deadline in 2017.
Yeah.
This is guys flat out saying our GM is a bum.
Well, the Mariners, as of this morning, are one game out of the wild card. I mean, so this is not a team that's, you know, they got five teams in between them and the wild card, and they're in the mix, and they're trying to send a message to their fans that, hey, we're trying. They sent the exact opposite message that they not only trade Kendall Graveman, who has the best ERA among any reliever in baseball right now, but, John, they trade Kendall Graveman in a deal where they get two players from the Astros who don't figure at all into the short-term or long-term future. Abraham Toro, there's a better chance he was going to go back down to Sugar Land than be part of this team down the stretch. And Joe Smith is almost 40 years old, and he's a throw-in in this deal. James Click, man, like if you're looking for reasons to feel good about James Click, I don't know, like I feel good about James Click, but if you're looking for evidence now to feel really good about him, this was a great trade, I think, and he didn't touch really any of the powder that he needs to maybe go make a Max Scherzer deal, and we should mention that. They're among the teams that have been reported by Jason Stark to be talking to the Nationals about Scherzer. This is going to be a fun week.
Yeah, that started last week with another outlet, and but I don't see that happening. He's a rental. They want Luis Garcia. I wouldn't trade one of those young pitchers. But thing that the Mariners also acquired a starting pitcher. And I don't know who. Remember they let Diaz get away to the Mets after he had like 59 saves. So I don't know what it is about their bullpen. I would have insisted on Chaz McCormick. When you look at what he's done in the limited number of bats, I'd want to know what he does over an entire season. But they were looking for a second baseman, and Toro's not a second baseman. They're set at third base. They're set at first base. So, DePoto, what's his name?
DePoto.
Yeah. He's getting blasted up there. All I know is the Astros have a 6-game lead over the A's.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who lives in Seattle, and like to be serious, like he was like he called me last night, and he's like he got divorced like last year. He's having a rough go of it. And he's like, this is like the one good thing I had in my life. And now even this has been ruined by the Astros. And I said, listen, Jeff, they're not even that good. Don't feel bad about it. They suck anyway. Minus 51 run differential. Yeah.
Remind him that training camp's starting.
No, that's that scoreboard.
Yeah, that's right. And you got a hockey team. You got a brand new hockey
team.
That's
right. That's
the
point.
Expansion draft. Next headline as we head towards the top of the hour here. Statement from USA Gymnastics this morning. After further medical evaluation, Simone Biles has withdrawn from the final all-around individual competition at the Tokyo Olympic Games in order to focus on her mental health. Simone will continue to be evaluated daily to determine whether or not to participate in next week's individual event finals. Jade Carey will participate in her place. We wholeheartedly support Simone's decision, applaud her bravery in prioritizing her well-being. Her courage shows yet again why she is a role model for so many. So, John, yesterday she pulled out of the team competition and now pulling out of the individual competition.
Is the biggest story of the Olympics. She was heavily favored, best gymnast in history, and, of course, it's shocking. And whatever she needs to do, just like Naomi Osaka, just she needs to do it. And I feel bad for her. I feel bad for the team.
Yeah. Have you been watching a lot of the Olympics, John?
No. Only thing I watched was her.
You know, the thing about Simone Biles or like anybody in a situation like that is some of the greatest regrets in my life are when I was a young man and at various times I questioned people's toughness about either a physical or a mental matter, and it turned out in the end that I would find out that, like, yeah, they were actually going through something much worse than what I would have thought they were going through. And I saw, like, a long time ago, I stopped judging anybody about anything. I always encourage people and young kids, like, in general, to try to fight through stuff, but ultimately, at the end, like, you just have no idea what somebody else is going through.
Yeah.
And especially when it's somebody that's already won a ton of championships and already done all of that, I give her the benefit of the doubt. Well, that's the end of it.
It could be something as simple as she was actually, by her standards, struggling at this Olympics. So it could be something as handling struggling for the first time.
She said she felt like she had the weight of the world on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
This is what I put myself, because a lot of people would say, like, well, what if Kevin Durant did this, or what if somebody did? I said this. I think a more appropriate comparison is Evel Knievel. And if I was out like at the Grand Canyon and Evel Knievel all of a sudden said, "You know what? I'm not feeling it." I'd be like, "All right, you know what, Evel? Whatever you need, buddy. Let's go drink some beer and do some of those 70s drugs you're
Evel
into."
Knievel.
And then that's the same thing, Sean.
Yeah.
If I don't feel up to it, I'm about to go vault over some pommel horse or something and do a triple flip or something. Those jackass guys are half drunk and high all
they
the time
are.
They do their
they
stuff.
They are.
Yeah. So Simone's damn stone cold sober. Yep. Come on.
All right. We are about out of time. John, we're going to be hearing from you again in about 15 minutes.
I will be
like.
In 15 minutes. Right. I'll be back with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris.
You got some left in the tank for them, John?
I got a little bit.
All right. So that's John McClain. He's presented by
HornSolutions.net.
John, thanks as always. Seth and I will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Of course, we'll be covering everything out here at Texans training camp. Camp Casario getting underway at 9:15 a.m. Nick Casario meets with the media in about 45 minutes from now. We will see all of you tomorrow at 6 a.m. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, Texans Radio up next. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.